RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So to a call for government intervention to stop regional councils from implementing regulations that could negatively impact farmers and waste resources. And to talk about this, the man who made that call, Colin Hurst, who's the Vice President of Federated Farmers and spokesperson for Freshwater and the Environment, Biodiversity and Food and Safety. And Colin joins us. Hi, Colin. Thanks for coming on RCR.
Yeah, no, it's good to be on here, Paul. Looking forward to it.
I'm quoting from the Farmers Weekly. It's a quote from you. It's completely outrageous what's going on with these regional councils, says you. We've got a situation where a number of councils around the country are deliberately choosing to ignore the direction of central government and push ahead with plan changes. Now, we've talked to government people about this, talked to council people about this, and a few other people who know about water. And the questions always come up, why are these councils pushing ahead when they know this is all, and we had it from the Minister of the Environment here, this could all change?
Well, it will change, Paul. The government, we're expecting an announcement from the government in the next few days where they're going to end up going with a new RMA system. So they're going to kick that off. But they've already strongly signalled there's been letters, there's public statements that council, well, for a start, councils, regional councils have got 3 more years to finalise the regional plan. So I don't know why they want to box on. It's spending our ratepayers' money, and it's huge. We've all had these huge rate rises, and it's potentially needless because they're going to be a new, potentially a whole new regulatory system that's completely different.
It's hard to explain, given the spend, as you've just said, knowing that there's going to be change. It's like a road to nowhere, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. It's just... I think I get a sense that the councillors are not accepting that we've got a new government, and they're potentially, well, I did quote giving the finger to the community, basically, and central government that they know best, and we're just going to box on. It's a damn shame, really, because we deserve better from our councillors.
What does it mean for farmers, Colin? What does it mean for farmers, this boxing on?
Well, it's this uncertainty. You know, central government have indicated they're going to change some of the things we essentially were quite perverse. They weren't practical. And these are regulations for some of our slope maps on our stock in the hill and high country. You can't fence that country off. It's a nuts thing. They're basically banning farming. So, and this is about putting fences on hillsides and steep hillsides. It's impossible. There's even some areas of big wide rivers, you know, and these are really low stock properties. And there's only just a few livestock on them. And I don't know. It's just a bit of a nuts going on. They're in farming probably.
Are they ideologically possessed, do you think, Colin, to a point of irrationality?
I probably wouldn't go that far. I mean, they. Essentially, regional councils deal with regional things, which is essentially land and water stuff. And if you've got people that don't even come from a farming community, I'm thinking about our large regional councils like Canterbury and Otago. You know, there's a large urban councillor makeup in the council, and they don't understand us. And I'd encourage the urban councillors to get out and meet us farmers more and understand what and how we care. We care about the environment. We're doing a lot of things to prevent degradation. We're a lot more careful with our fertiliser. And it's been an evolving thing over the last 20-odd years. And, yeah, sure, the farmers got a few things wrong, but, by golly, we're on the journey now, and they just need to have...
Yeah, but you don't have to be so closed off from the rural environment lifestyle to still not be able to understand and think through the issues, right? I mean, unless you're a dummy.
Yeah. I guess it's on the, you know, to be fair, there has been an intensification, and certainly where I'm from in Canterbury, there's a lot more irrigation going on. But the current rules are saying farmers have to reduce, and we are reducing our impact on the environment. So I'd suggest those plan changes that are embedded now need to play out, and some of them have got timeframes, you know, in the next 10 years. And the other thing that's a bit of our beef is ECAN, or Canterbury Regional Council, are working on another plan change, 8, and pretty critical about the council because they are undertaking a consultation with a limited amount of people, which includes Federated Farmers and some of the... And normally this is Schedule 1 consultation, and it's government, other government departments and district councils and other interest groups, but not the general public. So I'm pretty critical about that. It's a 10-day submission timeframe. It closes this Friday, and then it will be notified at the end of the year. So it will be notified through the normal statutory process. So I cannot work out why Canterbury are doing this. The plan changes that they've had, you know, 1 through to 7, they've gone out to the wider community and discussed it and had some informal discussions, but blow me down, this I don't know why they're rushing. They're rushing this through as well. And I'm put bemused. I just can't work it out.
Well, people rush things for reasons, right? I mean, they don't just decide to go, you know, super quick on one thing and leave everything else sort of trailing along. There's got to be a reason for that, and that's to get it done quick before anyone can sort of take a breath. Maybe, I don't know, but there'd be something in that, wouldn't there? Otherwise, why the speed? And why also the limiting of consultation to the not include everybody? Is that a reasonable thing?
Well, it's a normal statutory process of the RMA. This is what, but councils have gone wider. So they normally, when they're doing a normal plan, they start a couple of years out and they go around and have meetings with the community and ask their values and what concerning them and what are the opportunities. And they build up to the position of where the plan is. And then potentially they will ask for feedback. And then communities have the opportunity to give input. And that's the normal process. And then they firm up on their position. And then they go to the Schedule 1, which is a bit more exclusive consultation. And then they notify it. So they've missed out that first bit is probably what I'm concerned about. And they seem to be rushing it.
Okay. Yep.
So Federated Farmers are going to have a bit more to say about that in the coming week. We're going to probably have a press release coming out giving that a bit more of a nudge along. So.
Okay. Smaller farms versus larger scale farming operations. Who is best able to deal with what you're facing at the moment? I mean, what I'm thinking is it might be an unintended consequence. It might be something more than that to put the squeeze on smaller farming operations.
Well, the difficulty is when you've got a small farm and you get these rules and regulations, it takes a bit to work out, and it's the paperwork's the same for a bigger or a small farm. So it's you sort of get bogged in that sort of stuff. It's very unfortunate how that goes. And I think the key with this is central government have indicated to get red tape, cut the red tape, and this will help the smaller farmers most definitely.
Yeah,
and our smaller farmers can be quite innovative with some of the. Some of the activities, you know, it could be a small horticultural block that can intensify to a degree and that type of thing, yeah.
With the work that is going on, you mentioned it before, you know, already farmers are doing work to improve the environmental conditions around their farms.
Yes.
I mean, is there anything much more than that than can be done anyway? I mean, is what can be done being done anyway, or are you moving to that steadily? So, you know, does that make all this kind of unnecessary? It's just voluntary in the end, anyway, because no one wants this anyway. I'm assuming even farmers they want the best conditioned land around them as possible. I would imagine.
Farmers, we live here. We quite often drink the water from our rivers or wells in the community, so we don't want dirty water because we're part of the community too. So it's a continual improvement, and essentially. It's empowering the community to actually flip it around a little bit, and it's a bottom up governance. And what I mean by that is the people that live in the community have a lot more say in what happens in the community. And this is probably a catchment group, or the community lives in the catchment. And if you can identify there's issues within the waterway. No question that everybody wants to improve it. And farmers will jump on board just as quick as anybody else because they don't want to be seen to be letting the side down. So this is making sure our waterways are the stock are excluded. This is probably more the intensive areas. Be really careful where we how we go about fertilising our paddocks and making sure we're not actually spreading fertiliser into the water. So make sure we have appropriate setbacks. So these are just good normal practices that we expect all our farmers to do. And yeah, so most farmers sort of know about that. But there is a few bad eggs out there, no question about it, that let us down. And it's, that's why we need the rules, but to call them out.
Yeah.
That aren't doing the right job. And that, yeah, that's, and whereas the way it's going at the moment, everybody gets wrapped up in the rules. And it's just, it's almost like a police state, really, on some of the farmers, really.
As you say, the way it's going now, what sort of extra cost does that put on the operation?
Oh, it can be quite staggering. So on our farm, there's a thing called freshwater farm plan. So this was from the previous government, and it was compulsory for all farmers to get to have one eventually. And actually, I did one. I did a full-blown one. I was actually funded by one of the industry groups, and the cost for the consultant was just over $10,000. And wow. Then if I added my own time in, it'd be a couple of thousand and then another couple of thousand to get it certified. And that was, and that, you know, that's kind of a lot of money. Our farm's reasonably complicated and a bit bigger than normal, but, and that's the difference between a larger farm and a small farm. A small farm, it's, but I must admit, a small farm probably wouldn't cost as much as that because it's less things to look at, but there'll be an audit requirement that will be ongoing, so that audit will possibly be the same. So it's that getting rid of those types of things.
Yeah, do you want people poking their nose into your business all the time, Colin? That's another thing.
Well, that's a little bit about this. So it's all about who gets to see the information. And it's something Federated Farmers are really hot on. We consider that to be private information. It's not to be in the public domain, but I guess an auditor will come and check on it and make sure you're doing the right thing, I suppose. But I don't know. It is quite frustrating. But, you know, I think that it's about our social license as well. And what I mean by that is the farming community needs to be making an effort, which we are, but we need some way to demonstrate it to bring the public along for the journey.
Yeah.
And that's quite important. That's quite important. Because we can't be sort of saying, oh, no, stuff that we're going to box on, and it's all about productivity, which is important, but it's, you know, it's striking that balance between looking after the environment and trying to make a profit at the same time. So
and having a life, I would have thought too. Actually having a life while you're doing it, you know, without sort of accumulating grey hairs.
Cutting to the core there, Paul, but us farmers are out there toiling all day, every day, when you've got livestock looked after, and especially in the colder parts of the year, we're out there with our stock every morning looking after them. So it is a hard life.
Yeah. You don't need to be loaded up continually with all this stuff is really what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, you're right.
All right, so these councils who we're talking about, if they just press pause, that's okay. That's what you want.
Yeah, well, and it might not be too long. Well, I'd like to think, you know, within 6 to 8 months, we'll get a bit of a sense of direction where the government's going.
Yep.
You know, I think there's no time to rush this. Like regional plans, for example, you know, they come along every 10 years. So if we can just wait even a year just to see how they're going, there's a lot of there's the odd council that probably has got older plans that probably possibly do need updated. But, you know, if we can just get them to wait a little bit and see what's going. You know, we part of that press article we put out, we did indicate we've written to the Minister for the Environment to indicate along these lines, and we did a submission earlier in the year about this as well. So we're hopeful.
Okay. All right. Good to catch up. Colin, hear it from you. Colin Hurst, Vice President, Federated Farmers, spokesperson for Freshwater, Environment, Biodiversity, Food Safety. Thanks for coming on RCR, Colin, again.
Yep, thanks, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.